I hope this message this morning is instructive. I do know that it will be interesting. I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Now, I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject, what Isaiah saw. And incidentally, it's what I need to see, it's what you need to see. Some things that God revealed to the prophet Isaiah. Now, reading verse 1 of Isaiah 6, let's just take this for a text. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, his glory, filled the temple. Now, I don't know a great deal about this man, Isaiah. There are a few things I know about him, and I'll pass them along to you. First of all, he was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God who prophesied in the days of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, and most of those names I'm sure mean nothing to you, but they were kings of Judah. And he prophesied, he spoke for the Lord in the days of the reign of those gentlemen. And then secondly, he lived about 120 years. And he prophesied or preached the word of God for 85 years. And another thing that's interesting, this man Isaiah lived about 700 years before Christ. And someone has pointed out that his writings, the book of Isaiah, is quoted more. This is interesting. His writings are quoted more in the New Testament than any other book except the book of Psalms. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, when he began to preach, he selected a passage of Scripture from the book of Isaiah to begin his ministry. When our Lord Jesus Christ went down to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the Scriptures. What Scripture did he read that morning when he was going to reveal his mercy, his sovereign mercy, to that crowd of people at Nazareth? He chose Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He said, this day, this Scripture is fulfilled. This day, this Scripture written 700 years ago by Isaiah. This day, this Scripture, this is the first time it's been fulfilled. For the purpose for which it was written. It was written about Christ. I talked about that last week. You remember how the Old Testament is Christ in promise and picture and prophecy and type. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It's revealing what Christ fulfilled. And then when Philip was led out into the wilderness to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch, what Scripture was that man reading when he was riding along in the chariot? He was reading Isaiah. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I think Isaiah is fitly called by one of the old-timers the gospel of the Old Testament. Well, that's Isaiah. That's the man. Now, what did Isaiah see? Well, the Lord God revealed himself to this man, Isaiah. God revealed himself to Isaiah. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord." Now, God reveals himself to every person whom he saves. Men aren't born knowing God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to the religious people in his day, "Ye neither know me nor my Father." He said eternal life is to know God. He said, "No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." So men do not know God. But every man whom God is pleased to save, he's pleased to reveal himself to that person. See, salvation is not only a regeneration, but salvation is revelation. Let me show you that in the Scriptures. One day our Lord was talking to his disciples, and he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're one of the prophets." And he said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter immediately replied, "We know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Messiah." And our Lord said, "Peter, blessed art thou. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." You see that? A man can receive nothing except it were given him from above. And then the Apostle Paul said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb, was pleased to reveal his Son in me. And one day our Lord lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes, because, Father, it seemed good in your sight. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8 and 9 and 10, it says, As it is written, Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things God's prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God reveals himself to sinners. God revealed himself to Isaiah. And I want us to find out what Isaiah saw. And my friend, it's what I need to see. And you need to see. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. And we need to see some things. Well, the first thing Isaiah saw, he said, when King Uzziah died in that same year, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Now, the old-timers used to say this. They used to say Isaiah did not see God essentially considered. For God is a spirit whose essence is not to be seen. And we have that verified throughout the Word. No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen the Father. No man can see me, God said, and live. Well, who did Isaiah see? Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He saw Christ. He saw the Lord. He did see the Lord. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a pre-incarnation glimpse of Jesus Christ. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he saw. Well, how did he see him? Now, this ought to be interesting. Isaiah saw the Lord 700 years before the Lord Jesus came to the earth, 700 years before Peter, James, and John saw him, 730 years before Paul saw him on the road to Damascus, 700 and some odd years before John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you how he saw him. And he saw him like you're going to have to see him, and I'm going to have to see him. If we're saved, if we come to appreciate his glory like Isaiah did. He said, I saw him on a throne. I saw him on a throne. Our Lord is enthroned. The scripture says that having finished the work that he came to do, having offered a perfect sacrifice and redeemed his people, he ascended back to the Father where he's seated on the right hand of God. Seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's Lord by the Father's decree. Him hath God exalted to be both Lord and Christ. He's Lord by purchase. He died and rose again that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. Isaiah saw him high and lifted up on a throne. High and lifted up. Now, my friend, Isaiah didn't see his throne high. He saw him high. The power and glory is not the throne, it's the person on the throne. I wish we could see that. He said, I saw Christ high and lifted up. Well, we go back to Calvary. The Son of Man must be lifted up to save his people. The Son of Man is lifted up to reign and to give to his people eternal life. And the Son of God does reign in his church. He's the head of the church. And his glory fills the church. And when he saw Christ, he said, I saw the Lord on a throne, high and lifted up. And he said he saw the holiness and righteousness of Christ. He said above the throne were the seraphims. And they had six wings. And he said with two they covered their faces, ashamed to look upon his glory and his holiness. And with two they covered their feet, ashamed of their walk and their conduct and conversation. And with two they did fly forth to preach his gospel, to carry out his ministry. Nearly all of the old writers agree that these seraphims are pictures of the prophets, the ministers of the gospel. As they stand before the awesome, holy presence of the Lord of glory, they cover their faces because they're not worthy to look upon his glory They cover their feet because they're ashamed of their walk and conduct and conversation. But with two wings, they fly forth in haste to carry out his will and to preach his glorious gospel. But the thing he's talking about here is those seraphims cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." Our Christ is holy. He has a perfect holiness and a perfect righteousness, which he gives to us, which he imputes unto us who believe on his name. And then in the fourth place, he saw the Lord on a throne, high and lifted up. His glory filled the temple, filled the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw his holiness and righteousness, and he saw the earth full of his glory. He saw the Lord. Now, my friend, the heavens declare the glory of God. And every believer in his heart knows something of the glory of God. And the church is filled with the glory of God. But our Lord said to the people of his day, "You haven't seen anything yet. Wait till you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Wait till you see the new heaven and the new earth. Wait till you see his righteousness covering the land as the water covers the sea. Oh, wait till you see the glory of the Lord." We're going to see it someday. One of these days, we're going to see his eternal, infinite, everlasting, unchangeable glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. His glory filled the temple. His glory filled the heavens. And my friend, one of these days, his glory will fill the earth when the last enemy, death, shall be ultimately put under his feet and destroyed forever. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. All right, notice the second thing. Isaiah said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." And then what did he see? He saw himself. And he cried, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." My friends, a look at other men may lead us to say, "I thank you, God, I'm not like other men." If you are restricted to comparing yourself with other people, you may come up looking pretty good. You may be like the old Pharisee in the temple who looked at the publican down there praying, you know, and he said, "God, I sure am thankful I'm not like that fella." And he was telling the truth. He was glad he wasn't like that fella. And if we compare ourselves with others, we get a look at other people's sins and their words and their deeds, and we say, "Well, we're glad we're not like them." And we go off in our self-righteous, holier-than-thou attitude and spirit. And a look at the law may lead us to say, like Saul of Tarsus, "I'm blameless. I never killed anybody. I never killed anybody. I never stole anything. I never have taken God's name in vain." And a look at the Ten Commandments may lead us to say, like the rich young ruler, "I've kept these from my youth up. What do I lack yet?" But I'm telling you, Isaiah, on this eventful day, he didn't see some other fella and start talking about how good he was. He didn't see the law, the rules, the ceremonies, and the statutes and standards of the churches. He saw the Lord. And he cried, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." When a man gets a glimpse of the holiness of God, I'll tell you what it does. It reveals his corruption and his vileness and his sins. Oh, his love reveals our hate, doesn't it? His submission to God reveals our disobedience. And his holiness and righteousness reveals our sin and depravity. And his truth reveals our lies. "When I saw the Lord," he said, "I cried, oh, woe is me." Listen to what these words mean. "I am undone. I am undone." The Amplified Version says, "I'm ruined. I'm ruined." He saw the Lord, the holiness of Christ. He saw the triumphant majesty of Christ. He saw the glory of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. And he said, "I'm ruined." And then another translation says, "I've sinned." And another one says, "I'm reduced to silence. My mouth is stopped." That's what Paul said in Romans 3. "Let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty." Guilty, guilty, guilty before God. He says, "I'm forced to the silent because of my vileness, my corruption, my sin. I cannot even speak the name of God. I'm a man of unclean lips." You know, Isaiah didn't say anything here about his heart. He's talking about his lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. But you know, his lips are the outlet of his heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he just said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I speak what's in my heart, and it's unclean. And he said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Our whole race, he said, is a fallen race. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All of this, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm put to silence because of my vileness and my corruption and my sin. This is one of the most righteous men of his day. This wasn't a town drunk talking. This was a town prophet. I'm undone. And all of this as a consequence of seeing the Lord. He says, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm ruined. For mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. Now, you want to convict men of sin? Quit talking about the products of sin and the results of sin and all that, and start talking about the Lord of glory. And let your congregation get a glimpse of the glory of Christ. And they'll see their sins. It'll shut their mouths. It'll whittle them down. It'll knock their foundations of flesh out from under them. It'll strip their self-righteous rags off of them. It'll throw them down in the depths of the deepest pit of repentance, crying, God, help me. I'm ruined. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. And when I saw the Lord, I saw myself. We're too busy following preachers. We're too busy following church leaders. We're too busy upholding the church's standards. We're too busy doing all that and claiming how good we are and how holy we are and how righteous we are and how worthy of heaven we are. And we've never seen the Lord. It may be he'll pass this generation by. I don't know. But it may be. He may be pleased to let us see what Isaiah saw. Isaiah was in religion a long time before he saw the Lord. But when he saw the Lord, he saw himself. But here's good news. He saw something else. He saw pardon and mercy. Read verse 6 and 7. He said, then flew one of the seraphims. You remember, we made that the prophets of God, the preachers of the gospel. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar. And he laid it on my mouth. And he said, lo, this hath touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Now here Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. I saw him in his holiness and majesty and awesome righteousness. And when I saw the Lord of hosts, I saw myself in my corruption and depravity and flesh. But good news, one of the seraphims came from God, from the throne of God. And he came to me, and he had in his hand a live coal that he'd taken from the altar, and he laid it on my mouth. And he said, your iniquity. Is taken away and your sins are purged. Now, I said a while ago, the seraphims may be a picture of a prophet of God, a minister of the gospel. What does he bring? He brings a live coal. That's the gospel of Christ. That's the living truth. That's the living word of God. He brings a live coal. That's the gospel of Christ, the gospel, the good news of how Christ died for sinners. And he brings that live coal from the altar itself, from the cross of Calvary. That's where it comes from. That's where the good news comes from Calvary. Good news doesn't come from Sinai. The good news doesn't come from Sinai. It comes from Calvary. The good news doesn't come from the temple in Jerusalem. It comes from Calvary. The good news that there is a Redeemer, that God will show mercy, that God will put away our sins. And the prophet of God brings the living message. It's not a dead orthodoxy or a dry, dead letter. It's living truth. Right from the cross of Calvary itself. And he touches our mouths. That's the sins we've confessed. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And when he touches our lips, you know, Paul said in Romans 10, the gospel is not do this and live. The gospel, the word of faith, is in your mouth. It's in your mouth. Christ died for our sins. If you confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That message is right there in your mouth. And God's prophet put it there, right from the cross, if you'll confess Christ. That's good news. And then he saw something else. And this is one of the most interesting things in the world, isn't it? Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died. Now, I don't know the significance of that. I could put some significance on it. I don't want to stretch the point, but there's some folks that are not going to see the Lord till their Uzziahs die. The people they're putting before the Lord, the jobs they're putting before the Lord, their ambitions they're putting before the Lord, their blueprints for life they're putting before the Lord, all their fame and fortune and honor and materialism, those things die. Then you see the Lord. Those things move out of the way that have been your lords and your gods. And when King Uzziah died, I don't know what Uzziah was to Isaiah. I just know when he died, Isaiah was able to see the Lord. Maybe God will have to kill you before you'll see him. Maybe he'll have to kill some precious something that's too dear to you before you'll see the Lord. But King Uzziah died, and Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw him in his true reigning lordship and character. He didn't see him as an infant in Bethlehem's manger. He didn't see him as a pitiful carpenter in Nazareth. He didn't see him as a healer on the Judean hillside. He didn't see him as a frustrated reformer by the Sea of Galilee. He didn't see him hanging on a crucifix. He saw him on a throne. That's where he saw the Lord. And when he did, he saw himself, vile and sinful and corrupt. And he cried for mercy. And that's when the Lord sent the good news, right from the cross, and said, this is the way sin is purged. Sin's not purged by your going to a place called purgatory and spending a few years. Sin is purged at Calvary. There's no such thing in the Bible as purgatory. That was invented as a money-making scheme, you know, by some fella a long time ago. So the church kind of got in trouble back then, you know, and they had to get some funds to build a new educational building. So somebody invented purgatory. And they've been selling that idea ever since to people. But our sins are purged at the cross. They're purged. Your iniquity is taken away. And he saw, what's the fourth thing? He saw human nature as he had never seen it. The Lord said to him in verse 9 and 10, he said, now you go tell these people what you've seen and what you've heard. You go as my preacher, Isaiah. He said, whom shall I send and who will go for me? He said, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, all right, I'll send you. But I got something to tell you before you go. They got eyes, but they're not going to see. They got ears, but they're not going to hear. And they got hearts, but they're not going to understand. And you know Isaiah found that out. Our Lord Jesus said, let a man come in his own name, and him you will receive. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. You can just about tell this world anything you want to, religious, and they'll believe it, and they'll receive it, and they'll support it, except the truth. You tell them the truth about God, the truth about themselves, the truth about Christ, the truth about salvation, and they grow angry with you. But he said, Isaiah, look at verse 9 and 10. He said, I'm going to send you these people, but these people have ears, and they won't hear you, and eyes, and they won't see what you're saying. They won't perceive at all. They won't understand. And Isaiah wrote a little later in Isaiah 53. He said, who hath believed my report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Not many. Not many. But what did Isaiah do? Let me tell you something. He saw the glory of the Lord, and he went forth to speak of him. Turn to John chapter 12. Here's a scripture that I have underlined in my Bible several times. I think it's one of the most beautiful scriptures in all the Bible in reference to this man Isaiah. In John 12, 41, it says this. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, he spake of him. My friend, you can't tell what you don't know any more than you can come back from where you haven't been. And Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord. And after he saw the glory of the Lord, you know what was his message? The glory of the Lord. He'd never seen anything like it. God revealed to Isaiah his gospel. And it was so magnificent and so wonderful, it met his need, that that's all he wanted to talk about. He preached the gospel of Christ. He went forth to sing the praises of the Lord. When he saw the glory of the Lord, he spake of him. You know why so many preachers are talking about themselves? Well, they've never seen the glory of Christ. If they ever saw his glory, they'd never talk about themselves again, except to say, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm ruined, I'm sinned. You know the reason so many preachers talk about their denomination? That's all they've ever seen, the glory of their denomination. If they ever see the glory of Christ, they'll speak of him. You know the reason a lot of preachers speak of the glory of the American government and all these different things, you know, and they declare war on this, that, and the other? Because they've never seen Christ's glory. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he spake of him. You couldn't show him anything else more wonderful. You couldn't give him a message more wonderful. You couldn't give him a message more personally consuming. It consumed his Lord very deep. He was eaten up with the glory of the Lord. That's all he wanted to talk about. He talked about it in the daytime and dreamed about it at night, the glory of the Lord. Listen to what he wrote in Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there's none else. I'm a just God and a Savior. And my friend, that's God's order of grace. That's God's method of grace. First, death, and then life. First, judgment, and then grace. First, stripping, and then clothing. And that's the way he did Isaiah. He brought him down. He saw the glory of the Lord, and he's ready to preach. He went out to tell others about the glory of his Lord. He spake of him.